We hear a lot of stories these days telling us the American shopping mall is in trouble, with everything from the internet to the nation's increasing income gulf blamed for its downfall. But one place on Buford Highway doing things a little differently might set an example for an entirely new model of mall. Or is it so very new? Recently, we paid a visit to find out. The story of a new kind of shopping mall starts with the story of the very oldest shopping malls, those conceived of by a man with a vision named Victor Gruen.
The pleasures of the old town square, the atmosphere of the plaza, or the classical forum are recreated in a contemporary scale.
I mean, the figure who has always sort of been recognized as the father of the mall is Victor Gruen.
This is Ellen Dunham Jones, an architect at Georgia Tech who spent years studying suburban design. The footage you hear, that's from a 1968 documentary made by Gruen.
It was an Austrian architect who migrated to the U.S. And in the 50s and 60s, when America was suburbanizing big time, and he was really interested in trying to give the suburbs the town center that he had grown up with.
Gone are the cars with their chalk-marked pavements, traffic signals, fumes.
A climate-controlled version of that town center, where people could walk from place to place, just as Gruen had done as a child. And his vision caught on. It grew, not quite into the community space he had envisioned, but into a commercial powerhouse, one that ran strong for four decades. But then, in the 1990s, it began to stall out. Analysts give a lot of reasons for this. There were simply too many malls built in the first place. The growing class divide means fewer people are shopping at mall department stores. And, of course, internet shopping. At any rate, the mall is not the universal cultural experience it once was. But there are exceptions. In the structure that once upon a time housed the Buford Claremont Mall, one of those malls that did fine in the 1970s before experiencing a steady decline, sits Plaza Fiesta. And on just about any given Sunday afternoon, the plaza is packed.
We can see friends, we can eat the food, the kids playing, like enjoy the day of.
Juan Gonzalez comes here most Sundays with his extended family, wife, in-laws, and nieces. Today finds them at the enormous indoor jungle gym that stands at one corner of the mall's atrium. The mall targets the large Hispanic population that lives in the neighborhoods around Buford Highway. Today, it's teeming with families.
Normally, I work like Monday through Saturday, so Sunday off. So we're trying to enjoy with the family, go somewhere like we feel like at home. Sometimes we see a lot of friends. That's why we feel like we're in Mexico.
The snack that he's just bought certainly helps. It's fresh coconut drizzled in chile and lime juice.
It's really good. A lot of malls, they don't have that kind of food.
Over in another part of the plaza, Betsy Segovia and her aunt are looking for other things you can't find at a lot of malls.
She's looking for Beto's outfit that she needs for her son, and she's looking for like shoes, like decorations, like those little ones right there.
On weekends, the plaza attracts Hispanic shoppers from as far as North Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee. These ladies drove from Gainesville, nearly an hour away, to buy these small baptism keepsakes and the outfits and shoes that go along with them, items imported from Mexico. Why?
They're not going to have it at the mall, but like most of us come here because we know that they have it here, because this is where our culture is. Like the whole thing is just us. You know what I mean?
Anywhere they go, they're always having a deal in a different language that's not theirs.
This is Julio Penaranda, the mall's manager.
They have to battle against people saying, oh, you're not welcome here. You don't have documents. You know, you're illegal. Here, we don't care.
At Plaza Fiesta, that welcoming atmosphere exists in part because it's a one-stop shop for just about anything its Spanish-speaking clientele may need.
Dental clinic, two eye doctors, chiropractors, children's medical facility, 24-hour gym, tax preparers, money transfers.
Taking dying malls and transforming them into Hispanic cultural hubs, this is what Jose Legazpi does. His company owns Plaza Fiesta and six other malls like it around the country.
Going back to the 1950s America, it used to be that most people used to get dressed up to go on a Sunday outing and go to church and go shopping and go entertain themselves. The Latino community tends to do that now.
Catering to traditions like this has brought success. Last year, Plaza Fiesta took in more than $100 million. And Ellen Dunham Jones says this points to something that many of today's conventional shopping malls simply don't get.
The suburban landscape has so been based on this kind of mass consumption that assumes the public is sort of the stereotype image of kind of American suburbia, a white couple with two white kids, which is really not at all what the suburbs look like anymore.
Increasingly, they look like the neighborhoods that surround Plaza Fiesta, a diverse mix of family and non-family households, mostly Hispanic and Caucasian residents. And all of this leaves me with one more question. Victor Gruen, what would he think of Plaza Fiesta?
I think Victor Gruen would actually look at a lot of the community building efforts and be thrilled. His early malls, they would always include the library, the town hall. His ambition was that they really were a true town center. By the end of his life, he was actually quite disappointed that so many of them had become just about consumption and consumerism. He really was trying to build community.
And maybe that's the takeaway here, imagining malls, whatever their next incarnation may be, as places that are about more than just shopping. Kate Sweeney, WABE.